Hitchcock. Hitchcock was originally from Manchester, as I know. He eventually became the Rav of Yerushalayim. He said over a Maisa once, called Nidre, in Auschwitz. He said over a Maisa, there was a Rasha, as we know, a beast of a man, in the form of a man, should I say, Mengel is as he's known as, Mamisha Rasha, and he decided every so often to have a little bit of fun. And he always picked the Yom Tovim time to start having a little bit of fun with the Jews, so he decided to make like a goalpost. And in this goalpost is an empty space, and all the Jews would have to pass through. Whoever would be the height of the goalpost could live, he could go to the right. Whoever would not make the height of the goalpost, he would go to the left. He wouldn't live. So there was a group of Vachim there from a certain yeshiva that made it through the camps, and they were all huddled together, and they would learn the Satsas together, Balpeh. And here it was, they were going through this goalpost, through this test. One by one, all the Vachim went through, Baruch Hashem, they were all of the height. They went to the right, and they were able to live. One of them wasn't so tall, unfortunately. And he was trying, as he was going, on his tiptoes, and he was trying to get a little bit further, a little bit higher, so nobody would notice. Mengel was watching him, he said, go to the left. And it was burning within him. He decided to do something that no one ever did. He went up to the Rasha, with his eyes burning, with a passion, with a rushing. And he said to him, in Yiddish, and I'm saying in English, I want life. And for some reason, no one ever spoke to him this way, ever before. For some unbelievable reason, he said, go to the right. And he lived. The Minchas Hitzok says that every single Rosh Hashanah, we go through the same selection. Every single year, there's a selection made. And we have to look for aces. We have to look for certain things that will give us life, certain things that we can cry, we want life, right? What are these aces? So Be'ez Hashem today, I wanted to speak about a very choshev in Nekuda. Again, like I always said, it's halachas she'be'etzem. I wanted to speak about different halachas. The halachas I wanted to speak today, and this is mamish this Nekuda, is the halachas of Don Lekapschos. Again, this is not Musa, this is not Ashkafa, we're speaking halachas. Now, if you know, the halachas over here are very, very all over Shas, all over some of the Musa Sfarim. So we tried to capture all the things together to see what the halachas are that gather down Lekapschos. Now, why is it so choshev? Don Lekapschos. So there was once a Maisa, as somebody once said, as a Moshul, imagine a person gets to Shamayim, and you know, he gets up there, and they say, you know, big, one of these big terrifying voices come, bring in the mitzvahs. So a huge trap comes over, and all the mitzvahs are being emptied out, the tzitzis, and the tefillin, and the Torah, and everything is moving, and it's looking like, you know, all, they put on the scales, and bang, goes flying all the way down, moving, all the mitzvahs. And then the big voice comes along and says, bring in the Avelis. And suddenly this huge caravan of the van after van after van are coming in, and they're bringing out all these Avelis, and he's thinking, oh, you got me for that? Oh, how embarrassing. And b'chule, don't do all the Avelis. All of a sudden, he says, excuse me, I didn't do that Avela. That one also not. What's going on over here? So he said, let me tell you something. These Avelis, in Achanami, they weren't done by you. They were done by the people that learned by you. The people that saw you going out of Dublin early, saw you being a battle Torah, saw you do all sorts of things, eating in certain places of Ochule, and they did the same thing. If he did it, no, I can also do it. You get all of their favors also. She says, hold on a minute. Isn't there a halacha? The halacha says that a person is supposed to be judging other people's correctly. Supposed to be done the kashrus. They should have done the kashrus. They should have figured out that I was doing something that's probably okay. It's not my fault. So Shemaim answered, no, no. If when you were on this world, you also were gone and have school, and you saw the good in others, then another Nami, then Shemaim will do the same thing. We'll also be gone and have school when it comes to your Maisim. But if not, then we're not going to be doing the same when it comes to you. So this is why, this I believe, and I saw in some of the story, also the Gabi Rosh Hashanah. We come to Rosh Hashanah with all our mitzvahs, and with all our avemus, and we're looking at the Gemara. It tells us in Rosh Hashanah, there's three Sfarim open up, the Beinonim, and the Rishayim, and the Tzadikim, and I'm glad that we try to be on the Tzadikim. This Ravoisa, I believe, is one of the best Eitzes that a person can have. Because it can turn all these avemus that were not even his, and even the mitzvahs that he does, can look in such a positive light. The Rabboni Shalom will say, you know what? No, he didn't get out for Shachris. Oh no, he didn't have such kavanah when he was wearing his tefillin. But you know what? It was hard for him. You know what? He had a headache. Whatever it may be. Because if we've done the kaf s'chus, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Kuf Chof Zayin Beis tells us that if a person has done the kaf s'chus, other people, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Maral says, Midah Keneged Midah, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will also be done the kaf s'chus on us. So that's why I believe that this is such an important nekuda. Now, Abada, we were speaking about Lachas today, got some nice interesting stories of see how the Maisa, how it comes out. Now, Abada, the only way to do this by sight is by practice. Practice means that when something happens to a person, so automatically you should start thinking straight away that it was Beseder. For example, right, classic example, a guy's on the bus. So he's on the bus, he's getting onto the bus, and the driver closed the door on him. Well, he bangs him in the face, or he doesn't let him in, so he starts getting all upset. And if you would think for 1 minute, hold on a second, maybe he didn't see me. Right? Maybe he didn't see me. Or if you see the guy, you know, did see you, maybe he's having a hard day, things are difficult. You know, I'm not talking about a case where he's like laughing behind his breath saying, another one bites the dust. I'm talking about a case where the MS, you can honestly believe that he did something to say that. And this is the important thing of Donnikav's course. And this means even if it's totally ridiculous. I'll give you an example. A person loses his wallet, right? What does he do? He lost his wallet. Where does he go looking for his wallet? In the obvious places or the non-obvious places? About he goes to the most stupidest, ridiculous places. He goes and checks his, you know, this guy that he never spoke to in his life, and he goes into his closet under his bed that he never ever went to. Because when you're desperate for something, you do anything. So it's the same thing over here. The chiyuv of Don Lekav S'chus, again, we're basically, this is Daraisa. The chiyuv of Don Lekav S'chus is to find anything, however ridiculous it may seem, to dan him the kaf s'chus. That's the important yesod. Now, let's go through some of the halachas, and then we'll speak some of the stories. So, number one, you have to know, is a very important thing. With Palm, that South of America once said, that, you know, if a person has strep, right? So what does he do if he has strep? He takes painkillers. Does the painkillers get rid of the strep? No, it doesn't get rid of the strep, it gets rid of the pain. But the illness is still there. How do you get rid of the illness? Antibiotics, that's what you're going to take, gets rid of the illness. Zug of Palm, it's the same thing over here. If that person speaks Lashon Hara, he speaks about other people, he says bad things about other people, he talks against their back, whatever it may be. So about if a person wants to cure himself from that, what does he do? He does, he talks Lashon Hara, the Chavetz Chaim. Oh, but Zuk of Pam, no. That's only going to get rid of the pain. You want to get rid of the illness? Zuk of Pam, no, don't look at us. Because if a person would look at the root of so many things that we do to other people, whether it be we hate other people, we speak Lashon Hara against them, whether we take revenge, I've got a list of about 10 things over here, all the way to stealing, embarrassing other people, the chule. It all stems from one makor, from one source, Don Lekav S'chus. Because if the moment someone did something to us, or he said something to us, or he didn't say something to us, and we'd automatically look at it in a good light, then all of the things that flow, whether it be Lashon Hara, whether it be embarrassing him, b'chule, nothing would happen, because we immediately look at the fellow like, no, he's beseder, he was having a hard day, it was difficult, he was brought up this way, he doesn't know better, whatever it may be. That's why it's so important for this mitzvah. Don't we get weiter? The Gemara in Brachos Daf in Beis Amud Beis tells us that there's three people that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves especially more than anybody else. And this is clear, right? Because everybody wants to be amongst the people that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam likes, and then you get everything. Right? The Gemara in Brachos Daf in Beis tells us those people that are Don Lekav S'chus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes them tremendously. That's number one. We also said the Maila that the Gemara Shabbat Tav Kukuk Zayin Amud Beis tells us that if a person is Don Lekav S'chus others, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will do the same thing to him. As look at the Maril, that it's Mamish Mido Kineged Mido. That if a person is Don Lekav S'chus other people, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam does the same thing for him. The Vilna Gaon gives an Eitzah. He says, if a person doesn't like somebody, right? So what do? You like somebody, you have a bit of problems with somebody. So what do? So the film is going, you put into your head how much that he's a tzaddik and he's such a chosh of a person and he's so good and he's such a bok chesed and whatever. And eventually, when you do that to this person, you're eventually going to come to love him. Or at least to stop hating. That's a tremendous, tremendous insight. Number two, the tshuva for not being done on the Lekav S'chus is extremely difficult. Why? Because what is it about the Don Lekav S'chus? I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I just thought something. That's why the tshuva is extremely difficult. Because what happens? A person does it. You're not done the kaf s'chus. You could be oliva mamish on yisurim. Right? Shalit of the rice is over here. How do you do tshuva? Because I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. So what am I doing tshuva on? Territory, that's why. It's only in the mind. But this is such an important thing because a person will never do tshuva on this. Because he never had it. Was something wrong? Let me get invited. Right? Also, we know the Gemara Brachos of Lamed Aleph tells us that if a person is choshev k'sherim, right, what do you have to do? The Gemara Brachos of Lamed Aleph. You've got to give him a bracha. Very important. The Gemara brings a Maisa in Shabbos Kupchon Zayin of the Mepharshim Seif Rabbi Akiva. Famous Maisa, I'm sure the Olam knows it, but I think it's a big history. And the Gemara brings a Maisa of a certain fellow that was working in a field for 3 years. 3 years he was working in a field, he never got paid once. At the end of 3 years, he comes to the boss, he says, listen, I've been leaving my family, I've not seen my family for 3 years, I came for a reason, I'm getting panasa. No, actually you can give me my money now, Terev Yom Kippur, I need to go home and support my family. Give me the money, I'll go home, I'll come back afterwards. He said, I'm really, really sorry, but I don't have any money. He said, I don't have any money. Oh, okay, but say that, give me property, you know, give me property, give me some character, I'll sell it, I'll make the money. He said, I'm really sorry, I don't have any character. No, okay, give me animals, I'll take the animals home. I don't have any animals. No, don't have any animals. Give me food. No, I've got no food. Give me pillows. He said, I don't have any pillows. He shrugged his shoulders. With a disappointment, he turned around and he went back home with nothing. 3 years of what he said, working without his family, seeing him, and in order to make panasa, not a penny. Not a penny. This was Erev Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara. Matzah Sukkos is the Gemara. All of a sudden, comes this huge whole parade of donkeys with three huge carts. One of them with food, the Gemara says, one of them with drinks, and one of them with all delicacies. And he comes in, he says, well, and here's the money, after that, I owe you. And he sits down and they eat together. Someone asks you a question. Can you imagine, 3 years of working, you ask me a simple thing, can you pay me my wages? And I said to you, I don't have any money. What are you thinking at the time? I was thinking, Pashit, you probably made an investment. There's probably a big investment, you know, going. You probably made loads of money. So you probably bought your money into investment. And he said, oh, and when I told you that I got no property, what were you thinking then? He said, well, listen, you probably lent it out. People work in your fields for you. He said, what happened when I said I got no cattle? He said, you probably let other people use it. You rented it, you make some money. And what happened when I said I got no payers? And this went on and on and on and on. And every single thing that he originally told him, he gave an answer while he was on the Kafshus. And he said to him afterwards, in Lashon HaGemara, I swear to you, every single thing that you said was 100% true. And he says that just like you, and he told him, just like you, Don Kavstos, the Rabboni Shalom should also Don Kavstos. So that's number one. That's the Gemara tells us. The Yisoid from the Gemara is, by the way, Rabboni said, very partially Yisoid. And this is, people make a big mistake. This is Mamish Da'alokh, we learn these Da'alokh from the Gemara. That Da'alokh is Don Kavstos, it doesn't mean the Pshat. When a guy does something to you, yeah? And I tell you, mice, I know personally mice of people, for example, that never got, I'll give one example, they never got invited to a chasana. At Hayoim HaZen, this is years later, they don't speak to the person. He never invited him to the chasana. I can't believe it, a friend of mine, he didn't invite me. Me? I'm like his best friend, right? He never invited me. Did he ever chat for 1 minute? And maybe he forgot, or maybe in the mail something happened, or maybe, who knows what could have happened? And it could save so much, that's why it's unbelievable that. And we see the Yisrael from this Gemara, it's not just to say, no, it's probably okay. He probably had a good reason. It's not good enough. The Gemara is teaching us a Yisrael that a person has to be'emes think of an excuse. He has to come up with a pshat. He has to come up with a reason why it didn't happen. Because if he doesn't come up with a reason, then it's not emes. And in his heart, it's burning within him. And that's a problem. So the halachas are as follows. Okay. Well, look at those photos. You see a tzaddik, right? You see a choshev yid, and you see a rebbe of yours, and he's in McDonald's tucking into a cheeseburger, right? No, I said b'chol yoyim. What do you say? Poshut. Me'ika hadin, you are mechuyev to judge him favorably. That means any single action that you see a choshev yid in town, or you see someone going to a certain place that you know is a little bit funny, you are mechuyev al pi din to judge him favorably. That's halacha number one. That's poshut. That's poshut. No, I'm going to die to a Rasha. You see somebody that's a Rasha. Now, by Rasha, I don't mean someone that's a baby doctor. A Rasha is someone that doesn't care. Right? He knows the halachas. He knows that what it's supposed to be from. And he doesn't care. Doesn't care unless he does anything he wants. That sort of person, forget. You don't have to judge him favorably. That person, you can say he's going to McDonald's. He's going to eat cheeseburger. He's going to do an Issa. He's going to a certain place to do an Issa. That other person can because he's a Rasha. And then you've got the middle of the line. Middle of the line is somebody, it's a Beinoni, right? The Gemara Rashi tells us that we're all Beinonim. That we're talking about a person that for Esem, he's a Fumi Yid, he wants to stay, he wants to do better, he wants to do mitzvahs, doesn't want to do Adavis. But sometimes he gets comes along, you know how it goes, the Naila. He's a Beinoni. Sometimes he falls, he tries to rise afterwards. No, a regular person. The halacha is, in most situations, that you're supposed to judge him favorably. Right, see a guy in town. Hey, what's he doing in town? There's a bank over there. Maybe that was the only bank his father had to use to put the money in. Or maybe he has to pick up the halal ticket over there. Whatever the matter may be. In most situations, you're mechuyev, most, situation chuyim to danim al pi al damat havsus in a favorable manner. That's very, very posh. And when you see a stranger, someone that you don't know. I don't know who he is. I see a guy going to a funny place. I don't know if he's from, not from. I have absolutely no idea. Bachlal. I don't know where he's holding. Which category he's in? The halacha is it's more the midas chasidus, right, to judge him favorably. So choshev is that to judge him favorably. Again, Rabbi Yisrael, like we said from the Gemara, that if we judge people favorably, then the Rabbi Shlolem will do exactly the same thing for us. Now again, Baita. A couple of mices, Rabbi Yisrael. A couple of mices, just to explain what it means if you don't look up schos. And someone told me this mice that happened to them, and there's an old man who told me this. He told me a mice that happened to him in yeshiva. It was a bach in yeshiva. And how it goes, the shachris goes. And some people, for some reason, think that when it comes to aleinu, so aleinu means take off your tefillin, right? That's normally how it works. Aleinu equals take off your tefillin, right? So this bach told me when he was a younger man, whatever. He told me when he was a bach, so he used to daven all the way to the end because he was a chosh of the eat. And there was one person that always used to take off his tefillin early. And it bothered him. And it really bothered him. By the way, just in parentheses, you should know if something really bothers you, the pshat in behavioral manners is, for SM, you also want to do that. But it bothers you the fact that you have to stay to the end of davening, and he chutzpah can go to the good breakfast early. So that's the new one to do it. It's a type of jealousy, it's human nature. Oh, but Emmett, he told me he was mamish, he's eating up every day, he's taking off his tefillin, the chutzpah, me, the tzaddik, I'm staying all the way to the end of davening. And he, aleinu, bang, there he goes. First one in breakfast. What's the pshat? He said, until one day, he managed, he finished a little bit earlier than normal, whatever, had to go somewhere, and he saw that this fellow was standing by the door with his tzedakah box. And he took off his tefillin, why? So he could make sure everyone would take, give a mitzvah tzedakah before they left the base medrash. And he said, you know, unbelievable, the weeks of things that were going on inside his heart, because he thought this fellow over here was doing something wrong, and really wasn't doing anything wrong. That's number one. Number two, I'm excited. Right, and these mices happen all the time. I had to pick a list of a few that we can fit in. Another mice, there was an old couple that decided to move to a certain new neighbourhood, and there was a young couple that decided to befriend them, be nice to them, take them in. So invited them over Shabbos afternoon to the house. They came over, had a chat, had some cake, and they left. As they left the building, so the father, the husband, goes over to the window, and he sees them going into a taxi. He says, this is like a chutzpah, we've been conned. They're new in the area, they're totally machal Shabbos, and they make out like they're really firm and everything's the Seder. It's a chutzpah, we've been conned without having anything to do with them. But they cut it all sides, and that's it. A few months later, they hear the sad news that the fellow, the old man, was actually Nifter. So he decides, you know, no, we have no ties to them, but Nifter, maybe Menachem Oval, Pasha Vazah, no, they went to Menachem Oval. They said to the woman over there, you know, what would happen, how did he die? So he died of a heart attack. Oh, did he have a history of a heart attack? No, but you should know, the first time he had a heart attack was as we left your house. He actually had the first signs of a heart attack, and because he was a stickle physician, he knew what the signs were of a heart attack, and he decided to hail the first taxi, and off he went. Right? And Maisa Rabbi said that, and no one in a million years would have thought would have been the correct thing, but the Maisa, that's what happened. That's story number two. Story number three, Rabbi said, anyone might remember this from Hanukkah time. The Ksav Sofer, famous Maisa with the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer had a coin of the Machatzit HaShekel dating back to the Beit HaMikdash. And he made one time, for some other reason, a huge Rabbonim to a meeting. All the big Rabbonim from the whole area were all there, sitting together discussing something. And the Ksav Sofer decides, you know what? This is the time. He takes out this coin and says, Rabbi Sai, I have a secret. I have a surprise. Here is the coin of Rabbi Sai from the Beit HaMikdash. Machatzit HaShekel, this is the only one in the entire world of its type. I want everybody to remember, I want everybody to pass it around. So they pass it around, and eventually, after 10 minutes, they say, where's the coin? Where's the coin? Where's the coin? No, nobody's seen the coin. What's going on over here? So they're all kind of looking, and eventually someone stands up and says, I suggest that everybody empty their pockets. And all of a sudden, an older man on the corner, I object to emptying the pockets. And you can imagine, right? All eyes to him. Oh, really? You object to emptying the pockets? What's up with you? He says, no, wait another 10 minutes. The Samsung says, no, old man, we'll respect him. Wait another 10 minutes. They wait 10 more minutes, they can't find it, they say, no, everybody ends up, I look at that old man, no, I'm not, I object to opening up my pockets. Say that, another 10 minutes, and that's it, everybody said, that's what they said. 5 minutes goes by, all of a sudden he was screaming from the kitchen, in comes the coin, it was thrown out in the garbage, they found it afterwards. So now they come to the old man, they say, I don't understand, what was the big objection to having this old coin? So they said, what did you all assume when I said I object? They said, Poshin, you obviously took it. So I want to show you something, he takes out his pocket. The exact same coin. He said, I also came here with the coin. I wanted to give somebody a surprise. I thought I'd give the Rabbonim a surprise, but I saw the Ksav Sofer came with such an unbelievable, such an excitement of showing everyone the surprise. I said, no, Rebbe said, I caught spot his surprise. Who in a million years would have ever believed me if I said I also had one of these problems? Nobody. But it shows how far a person has to go when a person should judge somebody favorably. Another couple of mice are and we'll finish. Rebbe Yitzchak Vadichev. Remember many, many mice. There was a mice in his town. No, there was a mice by him. He was unique for being done chaschus. He saw someone once in the shul with his tefillin on, reading a newspaper. Reading a newspaper, just tefillin on. I mean, my fingers were saying, pushing drunk for doing such a thing. Abazuka baby, so what did he do? He turned to Shemai and he said, look what Bani said, I know! Even when they read the newspaper, they put on their tefillin. Ah, where is it? That's how you have to look at it with his side. What happened to him in his town, there was a certain fellow that was known as a miser. Miser, think of a penny to stocker. And he was actually nifter. And everyone decides, you know what? Ah, we're not going to go to his levaya because who is this guy? He doesn't help anybody, no chesed, nothing. No one's done. All of a sudden, the day of the levaya comes, they see the Medivcha Rav standing over there by the levaya. They say, hey, if he, the leader of the whole place, people over here, he's there, no, we also have to go. And the whole town came out, and you can imagine the biggest levaya going. And they asked him afterwards, you know, I don't understand. Why were you at his levaya? I mean, after all, you didn't get support anybody's stock, it didn't do anything. He said, let me tell you something, and I haven't got time to marry from the story, but there were three times that this fellow was actually in Beis Din, and he was in charge of the Beis Din. And all of those three times, I'm going to call it for each Meister, but whatever it was, he tried to get somebody to take his money, Baal Kolcho. He tried to make out and pretend that really somebody else had money and he had it for them, and obviously did stock in a very, very discreet way, which is the highest madrigal of stocker, without anybody knowing it came from him, and he tried in Beis Din to put it on other people. Just to finish with these halachas, as much as we've said that a person be done like Havsfus and again, Rabbi, he says this helps Rosh Hashanah, a person comes to Rosh Hashanah, he says to Rabbi Shalom, I want a good day, I want everything to be Gishmah, I want a Shidduch, I want money, and I want a Chavayt, I want to learn, I want to understand chat, I want a Chayshay. What does he do? He comes and says, I want something. Rabbi Shalom says, no, let's have a look, let's count it out. If a person is done like Havsfus and he looks at other people favorably, then he will save them all the other areas in the Bein Rabbi Yisrael, who also looks in favorably. But one last Nakuda, and that is, that as much as we are over here, to actually don other people a kashrus, so we have a chiyuv also to act in the appropriate way. That means if we do something that looks a bit dodgy, looks not so beseder, so we have the mechuyev, number one, not to do it, and number two, if we are doing it for a good reason, to at least explain to people what's going on. I want to tell you what we're saying. We'll finish with this Meister Shahoya. Somebody this afternoon told me this Meister. He said there was a from religious woman. She was invited to go to a non-from restaurant with her non-religious cousins. They said, no, come to us, we want to sit together, we'll eat, we're very gishmah. So they said, listen, I'm really sorry, but you know, I'm religious and everything, and I can't go to such a place, even though I don't eat anything, just to be seen there, I'm not allowed, I can't do such a thing. So it was a little bit hard for them to understand, not being religious and everything, but they said, no, okay, no problem, fine, left it. 3 weeks later, this woman was together with her friends, Chavayta went to a certain place, and after says, you know what, we're going to go get a coffee. Where did they go to get a coffee? Chavayta found some non-hechsher place, not such a kosher place. So this woman, of course, being very foolish, she says, you know, I'm not going to drink any coffee. I'll just sit there, no problem. Who walks in at that minute? Walks in at that minute is the person, her non-religious cousin. And she looks at her and she says, oh, I see. For them it's good enough, but for us it's not good enough. And there is absolutely no answer that a person can give at that situation. Number one, we've learned today that a person is mechuyev, and again, it helps him when it comes to Rosh Hashanah to look at other people like Avshus. When someone does something to you, he doesn't say hello to you. When someone speaks to you, whatever it may be, if you look at it in a good way, you put inside yourself and you practice again and again, he's the Seder, and it was difficult for him and he had a hard day and he didn't mean it, he didn't understand, whatever it may be. And that Rabboni Shalom will do the same thing when it comes to you. And number two, that a person has to put himself in a good light and should never put himself in a situation where people could done him in the wrong manner.